Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Bob Buhner in the house today.
I am. I'm glad to be here and literally in the house at the Chateau in lovely State College.
Yeah, there's something I want to address off the top. Kevin, yeah, hi, how are you?
Nice to be a part of the program. Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah.
What, you feel outnumbered or what?
Every day I feel outnumbered on this program.
Yeah. Even Steve, I mean.
Yes, I heard they do, Bob.
Yeah.
This is an email that we received, and I told the listener that I would address it right. I wanted to find out, you know, exactly what time do you listen and so forth. Because he listens online in Allentown.
Ah.
And so I wanted to find out, okay, well, what time do you listen? That way we're addressing it when he is specifically listening. And I'm just bringing up the email right now. And the email is, we love Kevin. Signed by.
No, that's the one that I sent.
I'm sorry. Signed by Daniel.
No, that definitely wouldn't be the case.
Okay, but there's also another part in here about being a hostage. No, help me, Mr. Jones, get me out of here. Let's see. His email is as follows here. Listens to the show, and let's see. Deals with announcers calling games. Here it is. Got it right here. All right. Hi, Steve. I listened to your show from the Allentown area online. And I was wondering, and this is from Andrew from the Allentown area. I was wondering if you could speak to the topic of announcers. It seems that some of the ESPN ABC announcers and even some of the Big Ten broadcasts of the game do so in a negative manner toward Penn State. It's almost like they are getting a thrill when something does not go PSU's way. I enjoy a broadcast that does not have bias and called down the middle. The trend is becoming tiresome and emotional. The entire staff, AD, president, etc., is new, yet they want to find and make a point to toss negative comments. Obviously, there must have been something about the sanctions. They have a right to do that, and I get it. So you can see Andrew's very fair, level-headed, yeah. Right? They have a right to do that, and I get it. However, just call the game. Folks are getting so tired of hearing it, and quite frankly, it's not fair to this team, the staff, and the entire student body and fans. And then said some kind things at the end about what we do, which was very kind of you. Andrew, appreciate that very much. All right, let's start with, I'll take this in a couple of ways. Number one, I never listened to a TV broadcast. In other words, I do not sit down later pop the DVD to see how Penn State played. I saw it once. I saw it once. I'm all right. Okay.
Yeah.
So for me to evaluate how another announce group or team announces the game would be unfair of me because I don't listen to what they do. I only know what we're doing, pro or con. And you know, I get enough emails telling me they like the broadcast, and every once in a while I get somebody, you know, says that you know they would prefer to have the janitor do the broadcast. So that part I won't get into because it would be unfair of me to make a commentary on it. Okay. Andrew does say in his email that they do have a right, you know, I assume he's talking about the sanctions. They do have a right to talk about it. He gets it. However, start calling the game. And I think the only way at this point, in fairness to Penn State, you should be talking about the sanctions with the current staff and the current players is, if you want to make a comment as to whether it should be lifted, about having to play a roster players versus playing a roster with 85, something that is in the realm of the game itself. I think that's where it has to be at this stage if you're going to talk about it. And so I see exactly where he's going, and I agree with him. I think that at some point you got to let it go. Now here's the next part. Now I'll make a general comment just on games that I watch. Florida State's playing Clemson. It used to be that every ago where they'd introduce the starting lineup. You know, it used to be sometimes the kids would do it, or mm-hmm. they put a graphic up and they'd say, okay, here's the lineup, offense, defense. Then the next time when there's a change of possession, offense, defense. How do you notice they only put up impact players? Two. Then when there's a change. I'm watching now on TV, everything is about stories and storylines and so forth. And that's probably where a lot of this sanction talk comes up or negative talk, whatever, comes up because they're doing stories. That's the storyline. And I'm with Andrew. I just want to see the game. I don't care whether Jameis Winston was raised on a farm in Norway. I could care less. I don't care about that. Now, Kevin, I know you like that stuff. I don't need your background. I don't need to find out that you were able to work in a grocery store, and boy, you learned a lot working. Just again, I want to know, can you throw the football? And I think there's so much of this that they're doing too much. And I'm talking about, this is other games now, like Oregon's playing mm-hmm. Michigan State, whatever, where they're talking about a lot of things except for the game, and I want to watch the game.
You know, there's a legal phrase called res ipsa loquitur, which simply things...
Bob, this is a family show.
The thing speaks for itself. The game should speak for itself. Last night, Steve... Pirates were not on, so they replayed the 1960s seventh game of the World Series, right. Yankees Pirates. Bob Prince and Red Barber for the Yankees were doing the right. announcing. They called the game.
Right.
It was beautiful. It was like listening to a great opera singer sing an opera. It was just, right. it spoke for itself, the beauty of the game.
I mean, I understood. I saw a TV show. And so we don't know about the gymnast from China. The jumper yes. from Oslo. Okay, I got it. Right? If I hear one more time that the O'Leary kid is Jack Nicklaus's grandson, I would venture to say, and I've only interviewed him one time, but I've seen him interviewed enough, Jack Nicklaus,
mm-hmm.
that Jack Nicklaus would love to see Nick O'Leary known as Nick O'Leary. So he can carve out his own niche in life. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. interesting. He's Jack Nicklaus's grandson. Okay, I've got that. But after the 82nd time I've heard it during the course of a season, I'm like, can't the kid just be his own entity and his own person? Now, Kevin, you may have a different opinion on this than we do.
I really didn't hear a whole lot of what they were saying on the broadcast. I mean, I honestly was listening to you guys, and I wasn't even really listening to what the television was. I just had the picture on. So I really can't comment on it, except I do agree what you said yesterday regarding they were a little critical of the two-minute drill, we'll call it, or the way the clock management happened at the end of the game.
Right.
That much I did hear.
Right. Well, that's analysis, though. I mean, that's doing the game, though. I mean, that's doing the game, and that's analysis. And, you know, you may have a different opinion as to how somebody handled it versus somebody else. I mean, you know, and that's analysis, and you're just in the moment trying to analyze the game. But everything's about, they pick out themes now. And so the theme goes through for 3.5 hours. And they keep revisiting the theme over and over again. You sit back and say, well, you just talked about that in the first quarter. You just talked about that in the second quarter. You talked about that in the third quarter. I pounded into my head that you came up with. I'm big on the game is its own entity and its own story, and every game takes on its own personality. And do I need to know stories about he grew up in a on a poor farm in Appalachia and became the broadcaster for Shikellamy football? I was trying to tell Kevin's story.
Yes, exactly. Steve, don't you think one of the things that Penn State fans, wherever they are across the planet, literally, are tired of being for the last 3 years beaten down?
Yes, and they should feel that way.
Because they have been.
Because everything, some of the facts have taken a holiday in this story, and because, and we don't know all the facts. Two key individuals have never spoken a word in public about it, and nobody, in a rush to get the story out, a rush to judgment, you can't give an entire story on something until you have all the facts laid out in front of you, in front of us. Thus, there's a narrative that comes out, and you know, either you follow the narrative or else, you know, you're not part of the pack. Fans, they have an exciting, dynamic new coach. They have done a brilliant job, Penn State, of weathering incredible sanctions the last 2 years. They've done it with an us-against-the-world mentality. The fans have been a huge part of this. And that's why every speaking engagement I've done, and I did it at the quarterback club yesterday, I started out by saying, hey, I just want to tell the fans, thank you. Hey, without you, Penn State isn't in the spot they're in right now with a chance at quick recovery. If it wasn't for the fans, I mean, if it wasn't for the coach, the staff, the players, okay, those are all givens. We know that. Okay, that's obvious. Played a huge role. They played a huge role in recruiting. They have played a huge role in winning games. They've created. They played a huge role in how people internally feel, because the fans have created that, and they've kept an excitement in Beaver Stadium, and they've kept an excitement around the program. The fans have been absolutely integral. I don't care where they are. I don't care, you know, message board fans, talk show fans, in-the-seat fans, watching the game on TV fans, any Penn State fan, they've all been critical to this. And you're right, Bob. They're sick and tired of having a sledgehammer thrown over their head as if they're evil.
Yeah, and so I think the frustration of the fellow from Allentown on the email, I think, comes out because we're sick and tired of being sick and tired, I think, is the theme. And so any time an announcer makes some type of beyond the game analysis comment, it's taken in the strongest negative terms.
I think you're right. And I think Andrew, I think, represents a lot of Penn State fans. Do the game. They're sick and tired of the 83rd time in a row of hearing what the alleged narrative happens to be. I hope I answered your question, Andrew, and appreciate you listening online in Allentown all the time very, very much. It means a lot to us. I know that. Coming up next half hour, I believe Merrill Reese is going to be with us on the show. Correct, Kevin?
Indeed. He'll be with us at 3:35 after the news.
And that's at the bottom of the hour. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, of course, leading the news at this hour, by the way, Joan Rivers, the comedian, has passed away at the age of 80.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, got to go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory
area Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones, Bob, you're here. Okay. Kevin, I'll need to have the echo taken out.
Did that do it? No, that didn't do it because you're
actually.
How about that?
Yeah, it seems better.
Yeah, we can kind of hear ourselves.
I mean, it sounded great. I felt like I was in the Swiss Alps. It was such. It was so much fun for me.
Ricola.
Yes, we'll get Merrill Reese hooked up here in just a few moments. In fact, we're waiting for Kevin to take care of this. He hasn't taken care of it.
No, he's...
Okay,
he's...
Well, that's just, okay, we'll wait for Kevin to take care of it.
Click.
Not yet.
No. In the meantime, chat amongst yourselves.
We will.
We shall, Kevin. We shall. We're going to have on Steve French, who's the play-by-play voice of Akron football. And we're going to talk with him. Greg Pickle, Fight on State. So we're going to talk a little bit about recruiting and the big weekend coming up. We'll do that. Mr. French will be on tomorrow. For those who remember Buffy, Jody, and Sissy.
That takes you back, Steve.
Actually, it was funny because out of nowhere, Jack brought up Mr. French the other day.
No.
I was like, you got to be kidding me, really? So he brought, you know, he says, you and I are the only ones who remember that.
Oh, yeah. That's Sebastian right. Cabot, was
Sebastian
it?
Sebastian Cabot, Brian Keith.
Yes.
Yeah. Johnny Whitaker played Jody.
Yeah. Wouldn't know this is a sports show now.
But... Anissa Jones played Buffy.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
And I can't remember who played Sissy. It doesn't matter.
No.
All right. But that's a long time ago. The part about, you notice I talked about the broadcast. I did not talk about the announcers and what they do in the broadcast. When you're announcing for television as opposed to radio, in radio, we're the graphics, we're the clock, we're the picture, and, you know, and of course I work, you know, between working with Jack and working with Dick, when we work on the game, that's been how we do things.
Sure.
And we don't have people telling us what we should be doing.
You don't have anybody in your ear, in other words, telling you from the control panel what storyline, what theme needs to be emphasized.
So, you know, and now the only thing that we'll have is that, hey, look, hey, you know, you better do read this card here. This is the sponsor card we need to have here and so forth, which is critical. They pay for all this. And that's where the rights fee comes from. In television... You know, television is a true collaborative effort. There's no question about it. But there is a producer and a director. You hear the words producer, director, and you say, well, what does that mean? Sometimes fans don't know what it means unless you actually know somebody or have worked in the business. Well, the director is in charge of all the pictures that you see, which means they are directly in charge of the audio people and they're directly in charge of the camera people in particular. You know, they are the ones selecting the shots. The producer is linked right in with the announcers. And they'll sit down before a game and they'll work out, okay, now, you know, these are the storylines that we're going after. Now, sometimes it's obvious. Auburn's playing Florida State for the national championship. I think we know what the storyline happens to be. As I watch games, now as a fan, This is Steve Jones, the fan, and not the announcer here. As I watch the game, I'm hearing a lot of storylines and stories and so forth that are repeated throughout the broadcast. And, you know, obviously I'm old school, so to me, I just want to see the game. Now, what they do works, obviously. People are watching in droves, so, you know, what they do works. But it's not my cup of tea. To me, the game is the thing. And, you know, and if something interesting happens, hey, look, you know, the outside linebacker saved four little puppies from the shelter and whatever. Okay, well, okay, I got it. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. I mean, it's, isn't that nice? Okay. But I don't want to dwell on it for 3.5-4 hours.
There's no question. There's a lot of pregame production efforts that are packaged to be right. slotted during that 3.5-hour broadcast that they've got right. what we call in the can or ready to go, and they have to script them in.
And I think what and this is something in the teaching part of it, and I'm in my 10th year teaching at Penn State, and something I made a mistake with the first couple of years is when I was talking about the talk show part of it, I told the students, you know, how important it was to make sure you had your facts straight, and I could throw a series of facts here on the table. Here's five facts, and Bob has an opinion, I have an opinion, Kevin has an opinion. And it turns out we may have three different opinions utilizing the same facts. And that's how I taught sure. that segment. But the one thing I realized after a couple of years is that, you know what, I have to make sure that they understand that it's a show, that there's an entertainment component to it. Now, after almost three seasons of this, people are still wondering where the entertainment component of this show is.
Well.
But that it is a show, and there is an entertainment part of it, and part of it deals on with the chemistry and the personality of the individuals. That's why I'm so lucky to have Bob and so lucky to have Kevin, because the three of us, despite all the kidding and joking around, have great rapport and chemistry, and that's really important. You know, and when we kid around, the three of us know we're kidding around. There's zero personal about it at all. And it's part of the show. You know, and shows have, like any show, there is character development. So you know when you watch Saturday Night Football, you know the personality of Chris Fowler. You know the personality of Kirk Herbstreit. Tonight, Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth will be there. You know the personalities of the two of them and how they do things, how Jim Nance does something, how Phil Simms does it. Now it then depends on the announcer type as to who's your cup of tea and who isn't. You know, for the number of people that out there that love Jim Nance, there's always going to be some people out there that don't, because not everybody feels the same about anything. I mean, Kevin's the only one I've found that has had universal listener love.
And that's been up and down the Susquehanna Valley.
Yeah, forever. You okay there, buddy?
I'm good. And, you know, you talk about somebody who has love and is loved by the people listening. Merrill Reese definitely falls in that category when it comes to the Philadelphia Eagles. I know many Eagles fans that will listen to it on one of our sister stations, Eagle 107,
really well.
Before anything else, and watching it on TV. And he's on the line to chat with you, Steve.
Good. Well, I'm glad we're able to work that out and get our good friend on, Merrill. Welcome, and welcome to another season of Philadelphia Eagles football. It is great to hear your voice again, my friend.
Hey, it's great to hear you with Penn State. This is going to be an exciting year, I think, for both of us.
Yeah, I think so, too. You know, somebody was talking to me the other day about Chip, and they said it, whether it's New Hampshire or whether it's Oregon or now the Eagles, every 13 pass attempts in Chip's career has come up with a touchdown. And every 52 pass attempts, there's an interception. Now, I know quarterbacks play a big role, obviously, in this and the execution of it, and so does everybody else. But what does Chip's system do that you've noticed, Merrill, that leads to a number like that?
Boy, I can't tell you how much I am about to hate uttering the words that I'm about to utter. And the reason I hate it so much is because we used to roll our eyes at every Monday press conference when Andy Reid used this cliche. But Andy used to say it, and Chip does it. He puts people in the best possible position to make plays. He has open receivers. He has the right pocket around the quarterback. All of the things that have to happen for success are things that they work on and practice and perfect and then execute.
In the development of Nick Foles, Where have you seen the development to the point where he can be a next level quarterback for the Eagles? Because obviously in an NFL that where a lot of people are in the thick of this thing, a next level guy can help.
I think he was a next level guy last year, to tell you the truth.
I don't think
27-2 touchdown to interception ratio was a mirage, although I don't expect that kind of ratio again this year or maybe ever. But he's a poised guy, and he's the total package. He's got the size, he's got the arm, he's got the accuracy, he's got the intelligence, he's got the dedication, he's got the leadership. The only thing he doesn't have is foot speed. And personally, I'm happy he's not a sprinter. I'm happy he can't move 10, 20, 30 yards forward fast, because those kind of quarterbacks get hurt. There's an old adage about that there's no such thing as an old running quarterback. So I'm glad that he is primarily a pocket passer, and he moves very well. He's very athletic in the pocket.
Yeah, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning aren't exactly on the sprint deal either. So I mean, you see that. Yeah, exactly. DeSean Jackson, we know, goes to the Redskins. So that still means that there is a part of the big play that has to be compensated for. So where do the Eagles compensate for the big plays that DeSean Jackson did bring to the table?
You know, Steve, I'm not sure they can. I'm not sure that they are going to be able to stretch the field the way that DeSean Jackson can stretch the field, because I don't see anybody on this roster who can run like DeSean Jackson. However, Jeremy Maclin is back and at the moment healthy. And healthy when he is a very, very, very good receiver. I mean, an outstanding receiver. As a matter of fact, during the best days of DeSean Jackson, I had a guy by the name of James Lofton, the Hall of Famer, working an Eagles game for Westwood One. And he told me that as he watched both of them very carefully on tape, he was convinced that Jeremy Maclin was the better receiver, that Maclin was the substance and Jackson was the flash. And that's not to take anything away from DeSean, who gave me some of the greatest, most exciting moments of my career. But Maclin is darn good. And Zach Ertz is going to be, I think, a frequent target. And there are things you can do with Darren Sproles. And I think that even though he will be the third or fourth receiver, whatever, I think that Jordan Matthews is going to step forward and make some big plays.
In fact, Jack Ham, my broadcast partner for Penn State football, is a big Darren Sproles guy, because you can lock him up in the slot or on a linebacker, and as a situational player, he can give the offense some jump.
Oh, he can. He can. And you know what? I was not excited, to be really honest with you, Steve, when I heard that they had given up a fifth-round draft choice to the Saints for Darren Sproles. You would have thought that I would have jumped up and down. But I've been so disappointed when the Eagles have acquired names. I remember when they picked up James Lofton. I remember when they picked up Art Monk. The problem was, by the time they got here, they were well into the. They had a lot of wear on their bodies, and they played nothing like the all-pro performers that they were. So I said, I'll wait and see. I went out to my first practice in the spring, and I saw Sproles, and I said, wow. He has got the speed, the quickness, the moves. He's special, and he's got plenty of life. He's got plenty of miles left on him, because if you look at his career, he didn't have as many touches as people think.
Right. Most running backs in the NFL have a limited shelf life. Now, obviously, what makes anybody special in any profession is longevity. You can do anything at a high level for a long time. What has made Shady McCoy a high-level back for now what has turned out to be a pretty decent amount of time, Merrill?
Yeah. He's gifted. That's number one. He's very, very gifted with speed, with move, with vision, with all of the things that the great backs have. The back who, and I hate to make comparisons, but make one anyhow. The back style-wise that I think he is closest to is Barry Sanders. He can make people miss. I mean, he can make people look ridiculous at times. And the other thing about Shady McCoy is rarely, I mean, there was one instance in Washington where they put him out with a concussion, but rarely do tacklers get clean shots at him. He is always moving out of the way or zigging his body when they are zagging. So he goes down, but not easily, and not usually with crushing blows. I think that's a key.
Yeah, that's a big play. Where they don't get a clean shot at you, that's how you end up with skill and longevity for a period of time in this league.
Absolutely.
Is there any part of this football team where you sit back and you go, I'm not quite sure yet, Merrill?
I would tell you that the one area, believe it or not, was running back because of the lack of depth. And this week, at one point, they had Shady McCoy and Darren Sproles and nobody else on the roster who had played during the preseason. However, Chris Polk is now healthy. So the last couple of days he has practiced and he looks fine. Also, they signed a free agent who surprised a lot of people by making this team as a fourth tight end. His name is Trey Burton. And if you need him for a part of a game, he can move over and play running back because he did play some running back at Florida. And if it's more than a game, then you can elevate Matthew Tucker from the practice squad. So they're not as weak or as thin in that area as I thought they were about a week ago before I had a chance to really analyze it. The other thing is they're going into the season with a kicker who has never kicked in a real NFL game, period. I mean, that's Cody Parkey. Never has he kicked in an NFL game other than during the preseason. But I think that when you talk about pressure, what is greater pressure than standing out there a week ago Thursday night against the New York Jets, knowing that if you miss one, chances are you're gone and the kicking caravan will drop off another candidate. And instead, he kicked a 54-yarder, a 25-yarder, and a 53-yarder. Never missed. And we know that in college last year, he had more touchbacks than any kicker in the entire NCAA ranks. So I think it's all positive.
Yeah, that's exactly. And the point about Trey Burton, by the way, he played against Penn State in the Outback Bowl. I found him to be a very impressive athlete. This guy does a lot, brings a lot of different qualities to the table.
Oh, he does. And that's why there was a back this summer, Henry Josie, who was absolutely spectacular, and they had to let him go, and he quickly signed with Jacksonville's practice squad. When you are the fourth back, or the fifth back, or even the third back in this offense, Chip Kelly requires that you contribute on special teams. And Josie was little. You take some of these other guys, like Trey Burton, he can play on four different special teams. He can play on a kick coverage team, a punt return team, a punt coverage team. He could do the whole thing. Josie did not.
All right. Defensively, Merrill, what's your comfort level with the defense? Because if a team does score quickly, and the Eagles have the capability of that, that puts a little more on the defense to get things done. So what do you see in that defense?
I see a great defensive coordinator. I think one of the best I've been around. Bill Davis will prove to be that in another year, if this team continues to have success, he'll be somebody's head coach. He's that bright, that commanding, that articulate, that good a teacher, and he knows what he's doing, and the players all buy into what he's doing. I think Malcolm Jenkins is a dramatic upgrade over Patrick Chung. I'm not sure, Steve, that you might not be a dramatic upgrade over Patrick Chung.
I'm not even touching that one.
but when he was out there last year, there were wide open spaces for receivers and backs and tight ends, and Jenkins seems to know what he's doing. And I think that just the fact that this defense is doing it for the second year in a row is big. A rookie to keep an eye on, and I would imagine you saw him at Wisconsin, and that was Bo Allen. He has He has fit in big time, and he'll be part of the rotation starting Sunday. And I think guys like Michael Kendricks are going to come into his own. Connor Barwin is a playmaker. Now they have depth in the deep secondary, because not only do you have Kerry Williams and Fletcher and Bradley Fletcher, but you also add Nolan Carroll, who's probably as good as the other two, and they'll be able to go to the dime, where last year poor D'Amico Ryans just had to stay on the field. And D'Amico Ryans is still at the top of his game and is probably the most important player on the defense.
Yeah, I said on the Penn State-Wisconsin broadcast last November, I thought Bo Allen was the best pure nose guard I saw in the country last year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's great. Yeah. He's terrific. Yeah, I mean, how does a guy like that last with the seventh round? Makes you wonder.
Yeah, it does. Merrill, an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for everything. You know, hearing your voice is something that everybody up and down the valley just enjoys very, very much. It just means it's Eagles football and they get to hear the best.
Well, I certainly appreciate that, Steve, but back at you. You do a wonderful job on Penn State, and I root for the Nittany Lions. I love to see them have a great season. I think that James Franklin has ignited a real spark. He comes from this area. He played at the Chamonix a long time ago, and everybody here loves him and wishes him well.
Appreciate that so much, and appreciate your time as always, my friend. Thanks, Merrill, so very much.
See you, Steve. Have a great day.
Merrill Reese, without a doubt, one of the best in the business. We were talking about broadcasters before. He is a broadcaster's broadcaster. He is a pro's pro. He is what those in the business should emulate to be. Top of the hour. We'll come back next hour of the show, coming up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.